even going on this week? I mean, seriously, the world is upset that the president of the United States didn't die from COVID. Not that he did die, which is like a very interesting thing. They're mad that he survived. It's a really weird world we're living in. Speaking of terrible news as well, Michelle Obama spoke and tried to say something interesting. And she justified the riots. We're going to prove her wrong. On top of that, believe it or not, there were more Black Lives Matter and Antifa idea riots around the country, full of peace and vandalism. We're going to talk about that and a lot more coming up. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. We are also the best show on YouTube, according to my grandma, who watches this show. And so I'd like to give a formal shout out. Hey, Grandma, welcome to Slightly Offensive. You get your own welcome back. For the rest of you degenerates, we got a big show in store. Make sure, as always, that you leave a 5-star review on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Store, wherever else you can download podcasts, and waste 30 to 40 minutes of your time every Wednesday and Friday at 2 p.m. Central. It really helps us out a lot. It's free, and it doesn't cost you anything, and it helps us grow. Anyway, let's jump right into this. So our first topic today is something that it's actually good news. For once on the show's history, we can actually say something good happened. Whether you love Trump or you hate Trump, he's the president of the United States, and he survived the coronavirus. I'm not shocked. You're not shocked. I mean, 99.98% of people survive. And in his age category, 94% of people survive. That's with comorbidities. But as of October 1st, Trump got the Rona. And apparently he's doing just well. He was discharged from Walter Reed. He's back at the White House. He's living his best life. And you would expect that America would care for once that something good happened to the country. But no, America is sort of like one of the children for the Willy Wonka, the original one, by the way, not the Johnny Depp one. That was weird. They are brats. They can't seem to celebrate anything good. And they began complaining automatically about how Trump was destroying the entire country with his disease. There's an article, we're already bringing this up, as Trump did a drive-by, not the ones that BLM does. This is a different kind of drive-by, for his supporters who were outside. And the New York Times didn't stop to find a problem with it. They said, for the Secret Service, a new question, who will protect them from Trump, regarding the fact that there was an entire uproar that Donald Trump put Secret Service members sort of at risk by making them be in the car with him because he had COVID. The very interesting thing about this is as the left melted down and all of corporate media was awry, they forgot one thing. Whether they're in a car or at the hospital, the Secret Service's job is literally to be within a shoulder reach of Donald Trump at all times. So not only were the Secret Service with him in the car, they were with him in his hospital room. They were with him on his way to the hospital. They were with him on his way to the White House. That's their job. On top of that, the New York Times, so shocked that young men that are patriotic would give their life for the president, these people literally signed up to take a bullet for an orange-colored 74-year-old man with beautiful golden hair. I'm pretty sure if they would take a bullet for him in the chest, they wouldn't mind getting a little ching, chang, chong summer flu. That's really true. I don't think we're allowed to say that on the show either. That's racist. So we wouldn't say that. What we would call it is just the China virus. But if we were racist, we would call it the ching, chang, chong summer flu. But we don't do that on this show because Slightly Offensive does not even come close to racist rhetoric. But I will note as well that the Secret Service had PPE in the car. They were completely protected, but it didn't stop everybody else to melt down. Now, on top of that, something else happened that Trump did that everyone seems to be very upset about. Trump actually took off his mask at his house while he was outside. Now, believe it or not, the CDC does not recommend that you wear a mask outside, per se. They also say that in your own home, you don't have to wear a mask, especially when you're not around anyone. But let's watch this incredible video of the president of the United States doing something that I didn't think would be controversial, and that's just actually taking a breath outside on his porch.
Thank you.
Now, if you're like me, I had my children exit the room. I said, get out of here, Gus. It's my dwarf hamster. You better go. Your little eyes can't see this. Nobody can see somebody take off their mask. I swear, this is like Saudi Arabian porn or something, right? I mean, what is this? Taking off the mask to see their face? What are we going to see is ankles next? I mean, gosh, talk about Mujahideen. Someone call the Taliban when you need them. He's violating his decency laws. What is Donald Trump doing? Well, I don't know. He's just taking off his mask, but the left went crazy. Madness, hysteria over this. In fact, not only were they mad that he took off his mask, they were upset that he did something even worse, which, as you're saying, did he zip down his pants? Did he pull his little wee-wee out? Is it the size of his short, stubby fingers? No, that's disgusting. My grandma watches this. Stop asking inappropriate sexual innuendos. We don't do that on this show. My son is in the next room. But I will tell you this. They were complaining that he was doing something. Let's read this. A headline. They compared him to an American Mussolini. Ex-Trump aide compares President Trump to a fascist dictator over his internment. $6 million. No, okay, hold on. Over a balcony stunt. This is end quoted from Anthony Scaramucci, who wants to come on the show. I had a drink with him in D.C. He is definitely has a mouth for honeycombs. I don't want to attack his appearance. I have the things I could work on too. But my gosh, what width on those masticating knockers there. Anthony Scaramucci said, and this is a quote, you've got, I don't know, the American Mussolini standing on the balcony. We've never had a president stand on the balcony and do what he just did. Well, first of all, I kind of want to shoot myself in the face just having to do this as a job and read this. But let's just not kill ourselves together. And let's take this word for word. So people were upset that Donald Trump stood on the balcony of his hotel room. It's essentially what it is, right? It's his home, but it's like a hotel because he's just staying there. It's the people's house. He took off his mask and they are saying that that's something a fascist dictator would do. What I'd like to point out is I've also realized I might have fascist DNA in me because somebody pointed out recently, which I didn't know until yesterday, that Hitler and Mussolini both shared one thing in common. They breathed oxygen. And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I breathe oxygen too. And since we're doing this thing that whatever fascist dictators did, that makes you a fascist, I'm thinking, there's a little bit of fascism in all of us, even in Scaramucci, if he would acknowledge it. And I wish he was alone and being upset about this, but he's not the only one. CBS wrote, after seeing this video, I felt safer reporting in North Korea than I currently do reporting at the White House. This is just crazy. And this commentator clarified that he was talking about COVID. So these journalists from CBS, you know how brave they are, and you see probably why they're not on the field with independent journalists and reporters like myself and many others, because they're more afraid of something that has a 99.98% survival rate, which they were not even exposed to probably, than they are of being in North Korea. And I wrote to this person and I said, really? I'll pay for your trip to go to North Korea, because you're telling me that you could move around freely in Kim Jong-un's palace, criticize Kim Jong-un to his face, chastise his entire country, and you think you're safer than catching an exaggerated cold? And I'm not going to take it back. I do believe it's that. He's not the only one who was upset. CNN commentator said, to recap, we have a biological terrorist in the White House. What is Trump doing? Is he spreading the disease? No, he's just taking off his mask, standing on a balcony. But I agree with her. I mean, these are the tenets of a fascist. Washington Post, which sometimes is referred to as dog poop on the bottom of my shoe. Really, this, I looked at the bottom of my shoe one time and I had just stepped on a pile of crap in LA and I was like, dude, I have WAPO on the bottom of my shoe. People knew what I was talking about. Washington Post said, Trump outdid himself for bizarre and frightening behavior. He returned to the White House even though he remains contagious. He climbed to a balcony, took off his mask and stood there puffing and preening. I don't even know what preening means, but he was doing it. Don't preen in public, especially with your mask off. Because before handing back inside, he was still without a mask. Well, they act like this is like Trump not wearing a mask in his house is like somebody being like, oops, they pull out and they're like, sorry, I finished. Like as if he literally did something that could change the course of history forever. When in fact, the only history that Trump really changed were these poor, sad, and pathetic individuals who can't seem to understand that President Trump still is a citizen of the United States of America. And like most people with a high IQ, he knows the risks of COVID and he's not putting anyone at risk. But that's the truth. I mean, but speaking of terrible people, Michelle Obama, you guys remember them? Some people say Michelle Obama's a man. That's disgusting. I wouldn't say that on this show. But I will say some people say it. A lot of people say a lot of things, including the fact that Michelle Obama is a man and had a prosthetic genitals on the Ellen DeGeneres show. That's a shame. I'll never say that on this show. Michelle Obama is definitely not a man, because this is a respectable program and kids watch. She started saying that the riots, these riots that we will get into that have been happening, that we've been covering, that I've been dedicating my full life to, actually have not really been happening. And in fact, they're just being used as a ploy to try to attack brown and black people. Take a listen.
They're stoking fears about black and brown Americans, lying about how minorities will destroy the suburbs, whipping up violence and intimidation. And they're pinning it all on what's been an overwhelmingly peaceful movement for racial solidarity. It's true. Research backs it up. Only a tiny fraction of demonstrations have had any violence at all. So what the president is doing is once again patently false. It's morally wrong. And yes, it is racist.
So Michelle Obama, instead of just condemning the violence and the acts here and the terrorism, like she should, she continues to lie, saying that all this was about stoking fears about black and the brown community, that this is an overwhelming peaceful movement of solidarity, and that what the president is doing is racist. Typical, baseless claims that have nothing to do with what's really been happening. And I'll explain to you what has been happening in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you guys that right now during COVID, especially during the race riots, people are getting attacked. We're losing money. The stock market is absolutely unpredictable. But you know what you can predict is where and how you get your home or auto insurance, which is why I want to tell you guys about an incredible website that I use, that I recommend you use, and a way that you can probably save up to $825 just this year, which I don't know about you, but I need an extra $825. If you go to this website called Gabby.com using my code offensive, that's Gabby.com/offensive right now, in just a few minutes, you can look up if you have the best rate for your home or auto insurance. Now, you might be saying, I don't care. I don't want to look. Why would I do this? Well, I'll tell you this. This is a non-lose opportunity, because if you go there right now and you put in your information, you can even link your current home or auto insurance account. It'll tell you in just a couple clicks if you have the best rate possible. And so there's no way you can lose, because either you're going to find out you have the best rate, you can help your friends and your family, tell them to get the best rate, or if you go to Gabby.com/offensive right now, you can find out how to save money like most people do, myself included. I went there to Gabby.com, put my code /offensive, and I found out that I'm overpaying by over $600 a year for my car insurance. Isn't that insane? Over $600. So I encourage you right now to go to Gabby.com/offensive, put in your information, and find out how you can save money on your home and auto insurance. You won't regret it. It's really incredible. Use my links in the description. So let's talk about this. I want to point out there's a study from the Federalist that found out that she says, well, 90% of these things were peaceful, whatever. Well, actually, if you look at this on reverse, 95% of 2020 US riots are linked to Black Lives Matter. So it turns out that up to 95% of this summer's demonstrations were actually involving the Black Lives Matter organization in some way. And so when people tell you, oh, like Michelle Obama or Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders say, these were mostly peaceful, remind them that to have one out of 20 of your demonstrations be confirmed to involve rioting and looting, that's one too many. But on top of that, when you're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of riots, demonstrations that happened, you're talking about at least a dozen or more very serious riots that happened. In fact, that's 95%, almost 100% of the riots that occurred in this country during this last 5 months can directly be linked to this organization. They're in fact a terrorist organization. On top of that, as we continue to mourn the death of individuals who were unjustly killed by police, I want to remind you that the Black Lives Matter riots have taken 47 fatalities, 47. Nothing says Black Lives Matter like destroying Black-owned businesses and killing 47 people. Because an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, or in this case, 47 teeth for a tooth. On top of that, let's not forget this article from Axios that lets us know that these riots, an exclusive $1 billion plus in riot damage is the most expensive in insurance history. It's the most destructive riots the U.S. has ever faced. Think about that. I mean, this is a bigger riot than when the Jonas Brothers decided to break up for the first time. Who would have thought? I remember that moment in history. I thought I would never survive. But look at me now. However, other businesses are not so lucky because current estimates say that it could be up to $2 billion in insurance claims. Those insurance claims, of course, all directed, as Michelle Obama would want you to think, at trying to get you to hate black and brown people. The funny thing about her claims about this being about victimizing the black and brown individuals is that, well, a lot of the violence has actually been incurred on behalf of Antifa, which are a mostly white organization. Now, you might say they are trying to stoke fears about the black and brown community, but being interracial, often pansexual and gay, nobody's trying to stoke fears. I think Antifa is trying to stroke the black and brown community, if you know what I mean. And I'm sure they would do it with an open heart and mouth. That is also not a sexual reference. It means that they genuinely are trying to help them in ways to make them feel good for a few seconds or more. Speaking of that, some evidence of the riots. Seattle, Los Angeles, and many more, including in Dallas, are up in arms over a new riot that's happening on behalf of the death of Jonathan Pryce. If you haven't heard about this, let's play some of the riot clips before we jump into the story and explain to you a really unfortunate story of how an individual was killed by police, and giving you the breakdown here on our weekly riot coverage. So essentially what happened is this guy, Jonathan Pryce, he was shot in Wolf, Texas. This is an area near Dallas. To kind of go over the story, on Saturday night, he was shot and killed by an officer named Sean Lucas. Sean Lucas approached near a convenience store where this individual, Jonathan Pryce, was attempting to break up an altercation between two individuals. Essentially, this officer walked up. He attempted to arrest this individual, Jonathan Pryce. Jonathan Pryce not resisted arrest, but calmly decided to walk away, according to official reports. Then this officer, Sean Lucas, used his taser and then fired his service weapon, killing Jonathan Pryce, who later died at a hospital nearby. This being said, this investigation that is being handled by the Texas Rangers and by the police department has said that the actions of this officer were not objectionably reasonable. He is being held on $1 million bail currently, and you can find more from this article from the Herald Banner. The link is in the description. What you saw there was very, very interesting footage that had taken place just the other night. Nothing says that I am fighting for the life of a man who was killed in North Texas like destroying a Starbucks, breaking random windows, and threatening to attack reporters. We actually have a guest who's coming on the show in just a little bit who was actually there to cover those, who's going to explain to us how Antifa has developed in cities like Los Angeles and how they're scapegoating and using Black Lives Matter and the violence that they're saying is perpetrated against unarmed black individuals by police to push their own communist and anarchist agenda. All right, Tomas Morales, welcome to Slightly Offensive for the first time.
Hello, how you doing?
Let's talk about some of this footage that you got later that night. I think I saw Antifa Black Block. Maybe those are Black Lives Matter people starting to break glass. Tell me what was happening, why this was happening, and what you saw.
Yeah, so this was last night. So this was actually a gathering for Jonathan Pryce, who was shot in Wolf City, Texas on October 3rd. So this was a late kind of sporadic protest that was announced pretty late. Again, no organizers were attached to it. So that's how you can kind of know that there's going to be a bad crowd there. There's a crowd of maybe about 40 to 50 people. They gathered across the street from Union Station at a park around 8 p.m. And then by 9 p.m., they started marching and they started spray painting, of course, and doing their chanting, you know, say his name, Jonathan Pryce. What did you see? I didn't see S word. Whenever you hear that one, you know stuff is going to go down, such as spray painting, as well as, you know, the agitators breaking the windows of these businesses. You know, nothing says justice and peace more than having the businesses, the taxpayers, and officers that are not involved having to pay the price for these nuanced events and circumstances.
Okay, so you're saying when basically they make a chant saying we didn't see anything, they're essentially making a cover, like AKA we're about to commit crimes, and anybody here needs to be on the same level of like there's snitches get stitches, basically. And you are out there, you're an independent videographer, an independent reporter. I know firsthand how dangerous it can be. I mean, what's going through your head at that point? I mean, are you like, hey, this is go time, or what was going through your head?
Yeah, so I don't want to give away too many of my tactics on what I do publicly, but I know whenever I hear those chants, yes, I know something's going to happen, whether it be spray painting. Now, they do use Antifa tactics, seen in Seattle, seen in Portland, where they have these agitators with shields, which are the agitators with the umbrellas. So whenever people are going to spray paint, then you'll hear a call for shields. We need shields. And the spray painters will go spray painting, and the agitators with the shields will go cover them with the umbrellas and cover up the act. So it kind of gets tricky on how I'm able to film that. Sometimes I am able, sometimes I'm not. It's just a play-by-play on what is most safe for me and the circumstances around the actual events happening.
Yeah, and it kind of shocked me because Antifa has been pretty dormant in Los Angeles. I know they're really mobilize in Seattle and Portland. I mean, people know that. I mean, in Rochester, I was surprised. But I mean, in Los Angeles, I've noticed that their activity has gone up. Have you noticed the same thing, that Antifa has been a lot more active in the last couple months?
Oh, 100%. And it's not only been more active, it's becoming more and more organized every single time I see them out here. So from back in May, from when we had the George Floyd protest, it kind of just seemed sporadic. I didn't see too many people dressed in black block. I went to Portland. I came back ever since the whole Portland 100 days of protest. When I came back from Portland, I seen a lot of their tactics used here in LA, and it's becoming more and more organized, more and more prominent, and more deadlier, not deadlier, but more and more destructive here in Los Angeles. Yeah. So 100% they are organizing. They are getting tactics from Portland as well. I follow some of the groups and the organizers, and some of them actually go and spend time in Portland. They spend time in Seattle, and they observe, they learn tactics, and they bring it down and teach the people of LA how to do those same tactics here. So that is something I have picked up and I've noticed here in LA.
Wow. You know, I think that matches up with what I've seen around the country too, is there's a sense that it's like they have a playbook almost, and they have these exact same methods that are basically, they test them out in cities where they can get away with less jurisdiction from police, like Portland, and then they migrate them into the cities. What are those tactics though that you've seen? I know you mentioned a little bit about the shields, but how have you seen them getting adapting? Cause I think Antifa is getting smarter. I think they're getting better at what they do. But what have you seen out in Los Angeles?
Yeah, so again, the shields is going to be the most prominent, the wearing of the black. They also will make flyers with no organizations attached to it. They will also kind of hide those flyers either in their stories, or they won't publicly post it. So you're going to have to be in the know of how to find out these protests. They also, you know, throw the water bottles. They freeze the water bottles to throw them and use them as blunt objects. They also tell people to use encrypted services to start messaging groups, such as, I believe, Signal. They tell protesters to use Signal and not their actual messaging app on their phone. So, yeah, it is becoming more organized and also more decentralized. And they are also funded as well. So I don't know who's funding them. I believe it's publicly funded, but they do ask for donations as well.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a good point. I kind of want to end on this. I know that I looked up your name out there, and I noticed that they keep trying to want to attack you. They are pointing out who you are because you're doing the grunt work. You're out there filming. I mean, do you feel like your life's in danger when you go out there and do this work? Do you feel like you're safe? Do you feel like the police protect you? What's your experience as a reporter specifically doing this kind of work on the ground in Los Angeles, which I would say from being from LA hasn't been as frequent with Antifa as it is now more than ever. It's the risks have never been higher.
Yeah. So every time I go out, the bounties add up. Thank goodness they haven't caught me in the middle of these protests. However, that risk is always there. That is a risk that I am 100% willing to take to expose what they do here, expose what they do to the businesses, expose what they do to the taxpayer and the officers, because it is unfair. And every time I go to a protest, LA Times will be there, local media will be there. They never cover what I cover. So 100%, it is a risk that I'm willing to take. I think it's worth it. I do have my own tactics that I'm not going to share here publicly. But yeah, it is dangerous work. But, you know, I love to do it. You know, I think people need to see it. And with my view count, with people following it, people want to see this type of work because no one else is showing it. And yeah, that's it.
Awesome. And shameless plug, where can people follow you? Where can they find your work? Shoot your social media accounts, website, whatever you got.
Yeah, of course. So it'll be my name, Tomas Morales_IV with no H. That's going to be Twitter and Instagram, as well as you can also, you know, follow, like, share, subscribe, all of that, as well as donate to me if you have the means. One of the biggest adversaries that I have here in LA is a man who is running for office, no names, but he is, he runs a political fund. He donates money in the tens of thousands of dollars to local city measures here in LA. And this is the type of people that we're up against. He is vocally against me. I am independent. He obviously is not. So again, any of your help really helps me out. And I thank you, Elijah Schaefer, for having me on.
Yeah, Tomas Morales, thank you so much for coming on. We hope to talk to you again soon. Please stay safe. Don't give anyone your tactics. And most importantly, keep those great video clips coming out. Thank you for coming on. Make sure you continue to support Tomas and all the other incredible independent reporters and content creators who are out there. As Tomas and many people know, it's very hard to make it. Not everyone has the backing and support of Blaze TV, but I'm so grateful for them. Always remember, please then, now more than ever, due to censorship and the opposition, we need you to join the movement and join the force. Go to blazetv.com/slightlyoffensive and become an SOB. That's not a son of a B-I-T-C-H, though you might be one. It's actually a slightly offensive backer. Become an SOB, and it actually could be a positive part of you and me. Join the family, blazetv.com/slightlyoffensive. Sign up today, become a member, and fight the good fight that has been entrusted to us. Anyway, my name is Elijah Schaefer, the host of the best worst show on Blaze TV, Slightly Offensive. In many ways, I hope to at least be in your top 92 hosts this week. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.